Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Degenerate into something fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do.
Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. I am your moderator slash co-host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with Eric and Doug, my co-host. Eric, the best sound man in the business, and Doug, who was touted by Robert Downey Jr. to be the smartest man in the world, and also former male Playgirl bikini model. So we have a lot ahead of us today. We got the questions podcast, where we're just going to be shooting the shit, asking each other stuff about the business. Doug, why don't you get the plugs on?
All right. So listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Anthony Boxman and Smark. Every Wednesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. But on Fridays, make sure you listen to us first before you listen to them, because, well, just because I said so. And then, of course, listen to us on Sundays, if we ever get back to that. We don't necessarily have a set time, but we will be doing our Wednesday Night War show. I believe this Sunday before the Super Bowl, we might be doing something. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll probably do something.
I mean, we're all going to be in the same room, so we might be doing something that we don't want anybody to know about.
And kind of our other co-host wants to do a show too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's off for a change on Sunday.
Yeah, the Sunday that we don't know what the hell we're doing.
So, all right. So then we have, what, two plugs now? Are we getting dropped by our sponsors?
Well, I refuse to plug the one guy since he fucking doesn't do anything for us anymore.
You are such a take type of person, and it is astonishing.
Well, also listen to us on, well, I don't know. We're not technically doing a football show anymore, right, Eric, since football season's over?
I mean, we can still do one Monday, talk about the Super Bowl. And then sometime nine, if you want to do an SFL one, if the league is any good. I think Clint wants to do one. I have to ask him again. You're free to join us.
Oh, sure, three's not a crowd?
Of course not.
Oh, man, I came home tonight and I threw away all my beer.
Why?
What?
Well, because you heard about that coronavirus. I don't want to get sick, so I threw out all my Coronas.
Oh. Coronavirus?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, young cultured swine. You haven't heard about that?
No.
Let's talk about wrestling.
I drank some. No, I'm just joking. Okay.
All right, well, I'll start us off.
Okay.
So this is going to be basically our questions podcast, where we'll be asking each other shit, and if we get any questions on social media from our enormous fan base, then we'll address that. And, yeah, we'll be talking about various topics, and just this is more of a relaxed episode.
Yep.
So let's start it off with this. Besides the Dark Order, I want each of you to give me one thing that AEW has missed the mark on so far.
The women's division.
Elaborate.
I like Britt Baker. I like some of the wrestlers. I think they could do a little more. I know they're new. I just think they can do, just step it up a little bit like WWE has.
And I disagree. I think the women's division is good, and I don't think they're annoying about it like WWE. But I get that that's a big opinion.
Yeah. I'm not dissing anybody from the women's division. I love all the women from the division.
I mean, I think there's a couple of them you can do without. There's a couple of them I believe you can do without, particularly the ones that used to have a penis. But, you know, then that would just be sexist.
Yeah, but I think Britt Baker's pretty good.
I like her as a heel. Is he a heel?
That one flew over both of your guys. But, Doug?
I think, like, the tag team division is really good, but the issue is that, like, the Lucha Libre rules sometimes kind of take over. And, you know, I like your standard tag match where it's, you know, guys stay in the ring. You have to tag to get in the ring. And if you're in there for more than 5 seconds, your ass is DQ'd. But, you know, they let it go too much, I think. So I think they really need to kind of crack down on the rules of the tag team matches.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Yeah, I guess I could agree with that too.
Yeah. But, I mean, they do a good job, though, especially, like, a lot of their, the heels that they have. Like, MJF, he's a really good heel. I mean, he's such a good heel that next time he gets thrown into a pool, I think somebody should throw a toaster in after him, but.
Yeah.
But I think another thing they missed a mark on is this stupid Nightmare Collective.
Really?
Yeah, no. I think Brandi Rhodes is useless. I think she's useless just like I think most wives of successful businessmen are useless.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that, but I do, get it that maybe the Nightmare Collective hasn't totally hit the mark.
No, I don't think they have.
Just like Dark Order hasn't hit the mark either.
You got a woman who's coming out who apparently has lost her fucking mind. She's coming out and she's shaving the heads of other women. It's like she's trying to be the female version of CM Punk.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. What do you call it? Something Society?
The Straight Edge Society with Punk.
No, yeah.
I mean, but again,
no,
I think Brandi Rhodes is just completely useless.
Yeah, I don't think she's a good heel.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I think she's a good heel. I don't think she's useless either. I think she serves a purpose. But
yeah.
Well, I'm sure she serves a purpose. I'm not just going to say what that purpose is.
I think
so
you know what you're trying to say.
Who wants to go next? Who wants to bring something up?
All right, I'll do it. Let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think, if you saw it, what did you guys think of what Randy Orton did to Edge on Monday night? Do you think he went too far, or do you think it was a good angle, or, like, what do you guys think?
I think I liked it. I think, I mean, I saw it coming, but I liked it. I think it was kind of like brought back like the Attitude Era where, but then I like the storyline. I think if they build on this, I think this could be a good match at WrestleMania. Probably one of the underrated.
Well, do you think maybe Orton went too far?
No.
No.
It's an angle.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And here's why I say that, because I saw something from Jim Cornette this morning. He goes, you know, it was perfect, it was great, but then he had to do the thing with the chair, and it just went to shit. If anything, I think Orton took too long.
Yeah.
Like, he hit the RKO, and then he was hemming and hawing whether or not he should hit him, and the referees didn't come out whatsoever. Like, nobody tried to come out and stop them. They're all just yelling. They're just like, don't do it. Or, like, one referee came out.
Said, don't
like,
do
security
it. Yeah.
Didn't even come out. Like, you know, back in the day, like, when Jake the Snake Roberts did the thing to the Macho Man and to Miss Elizabeth, you know, when the snake bit Macho Man or when Jake slapped Miss Elizabeth, you know, you at least had one referee out there trying to say, Jake, don't do it, Jake, don't do it. And, like, he was trying to, like, tell him, hey, you know, this isn't right. But
yeah.
You had nobody out there saying anything to Randy on Monday. Like, he's just out there, and it's like everybody else was either in the back taking a leak or getting something to eat or whatever the fuck. Like, nobody did a fucking thing. And I think Randy took too long.
I thought somebody was going to come out, and somebody was going to come out maybe – Christian would have came out, but I don't know. Who?
I mean, I think this is a good setup for WrestleMania.
I think Christian will be involved. I actually heard something that he might be involved at some point, do something. Yep.
You think Christian will come back out of retirement?
I don't think anybody
know.
Will try to clear him because he's because he's, you know, too injury prone.
He's not going to come out of retirement,
right.
But I think Orton's going to beat the shit out of him at some point or something to get to Edge.
I think you might see Orton on NXT within the next couple of weeks. Because remember, Edge's wife does commentary on NXT.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but no. No.
That's true. What I saw was the Legend Killer Randy Orton on Monday. But I think you're right, Doug. He did take a little too long. I think he should have just went for the kill. Not the kill, but the kill.
I
think he just went.
I mean, not even doing the concerto. He could have just done the punt in the head.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the concerto's fine because that's what Edge used to do. That's what Edge and Christian used to do. So that's fine. But he might have took a little too long to get to it.
Yeah. But it was dragging a little bit. I was waiting for it and waiting for it, and then he just stood there debating if he was going to do it.
Right, and I mean, I like it, and I think it'll be fine, and I think it'll be a good match. I do like Randy Orton. I don't think he's overrated, like a lot of people say. For Edge's first big match back, I'd kind of like to see him go against a younger guy. You know, I think him and obviously AJ Styles, because they had a moment. But I know AJ's hurt right now. Or even him versus Shinsuke Nakamura would be different, or, you know, anybody, but just like a younger face. I'd actually really like to see him and Adam Cole go at it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason why they're going to go with Orton this first time around is because Orton's a very basic opponent.
And he's safe for the most part. He's not going to hurt him.
Right. That's kind of what I mean by basic. It's like you're going to get a basic Randy Orton match.
Yeah.
You know, Randy's not a high spot guy. Huh?
Which is usually a good match, by the way, though. You're saying basic, and a lot of people, and I understand and I agree with what you're saying, but most people think basic and might think, like, average or bad. A basic Randy Orton match is still a good match.
Yeah.
Right, because Orton's not a high spot guy, but here's the thing. He has no problem working with guys that do the high spots.
He'll work with anybody.
Right, and him and Edge actually had chemistry.
Yeah, but they've never really got the great payoff, though, have they? Like, they had that match Over the Limit that kind of sucked because, you know, it was a wonky finish. I don't remember them having a big payoff anywhere. I could be
wrong.
They
did in 2000, like in 2004 when Edge beat Randy for the Intercontinental title.
That's different, though. I mean, like after Randy and RKO and all that shit.
No, after that, they really didn't have a good, they really didn't have like a big blow off, I guess you would say, except for, like in 2007, I think it was the first, it was like the night after Backlash 2007, they actually had a really good match, but I think that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the reason they're doing it is because they do have history together, so they want to build off that.
Yeah. A lot of history.
Yep.
By the way, Braun Strowman, new Intercontinental Champion, just happened live on SmackDown.
Is that his first title?
Seriously?
Yeah, he just beat Shinsuke Nakamura for the IC title. So,
wow.
You heard it here first, folks. And,
that's interesting.
You got a question, Eric?
Yes, I do. I told Doug this. I didn't tell him yet, but what do you think of a triple threat match? AJ Styles versus Johnny Gargano versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
I think it would be a great match. I don't know if it really makes sense, though, does it?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, what would they be doing it for?
Yeah,
supremacy. One from
each
brand.
So basically, just have an interpromotional match for nothing. You know, the three best workers on all three brands, basically just to see who's the better brand.
Just to see who the best wrestler out of it. Best wrestler is.
I personally,
there's too many titles, so.
I love AJ Styles, obviously. He's my favorite wrestler. I like Daniel Bryan a lot. I did not think those two have great chemistry. I was really excited for their matchups earlier last year, and I was sorely disappointed.
I think they had better chemistry. Did they have a feud in ROH? I forget if they did.
No.
Or did they not?
No.
No, AJ Styles and TNA. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, Styles was in ROH before Daniel Bryan. Then he left and went to TNA. And then Bryan started making his come up.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I would love to see Gargano versus Styles or Gargano versus Bryan. I think that would be awesome.
I think we're gonna end up getting fiended Bryan somehow.
At Mania?
Yeah, I mean, if they draw it out for a couple more months, I don't know who else the Fiend would face, but I know Roman Reigns is a big rumor.
Yeah. I mean, he could do a triple threat. Always do a triple threat. That way, the Fiend doesn't get pinned if they're going to change titles.
That would suck ass.
Yeah,
you gotta remember though too. There's this shortage of baby faces, really. You know, on SmackDown. I mean, who are your top baby faces on the brand on SmackDown?
Roman Reigns,
Daniel Bryan, right?
Bryan, yeah.
And then of course you got Braun Strowman on there.
Yeah.
I guess they're turning Elias face.
Yeah, I don't know.
Miz was face for a little bit.
Yeah, Miz was face for a while.
Is he more a tweener now, or is he a heel now?
I think he's turning heel again with John Morrison.
Okay.
I think they're teaming together, and they're going to.
Well,
probably,
I don't know if it happened already, but on SmackDown tonight, there was supposed to be a Fatal 4-Way to determine the number one contenders to New Day.
Oh. Well, there
are
you
they
go.
In it?
And when it?
Huh?
Are they in it?
Are they
in? Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they won a tag team titles at WrestleMania, if that's where they're going.
Yeah, it was supposed to be them versus the Revival versus the Lucha House Party versus Heavy Machinery.
Oh, there's your other two faces, Lucha House Party and Heavy Machinery.
That's tag teams, though.
Those are tag teams, yeah.
Tag team and face tag teams really don't count.
Yeah.
But as an old school wrestling fan, Doug, you can't really say that, because the Rock and Roll Express was just as big as any other face in NWA.
And they still are.
But yeah, you do have a good point, and they were kind of the exception to the rule. But that's also in a place though where tag team wrestling really mattered.
And the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
They were huge.
Oh, yeah, they were big time. Who else? The Harlem Heat? No. Oh, Scott Steiner and the Steiner Brothers.
Yeah, you could. Well, yeah. All right, so you just made me.
No. Well, first of all, you don't need much help. But I don't think the Steiners were faces of the company, though. Like, when you talk about, faces that were stars, yes, the Steiners were a great tag team, but the Road Warriors were stars. There's people that just paid to get in the building to see Hawk and Animal, just like there's people that paid just to see the Rock and Roll. I mean, like big faces.
Well, that was at a different time, though. Like, with the Steiner Brothers, it was basically, they were owned by a television company at that point.
Yeah.
And not too many people paid to come in. I mean, around the time when the Steiner Brothers are probably the top draws of the tag team division, you were lucky if you could get 3,000 people in a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It was a different time, but... All right, so I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
And this is a big one.
2 + 2 = 4.
Fuck. All right, next question.
Oh.
I'm going to give you five
you
names.
Have a question.
All right, we'll get to that after. I'm going to give you five names. Out of those five, you got to make one of them world champion. You got to fire one of them, and you got to push the other one to the moon. These are five up-and-comers. They're from different companies, but let's just say you have your own promotion. One gets a really big push, one gets fired, one becomes WWE or your world champion. All right? Keith Lee.
Okay.
Okay, you said five, but yet you only gave us three options.
Yeah, two get left out.
Okay.
He's your brother.
Okay.
Keith Lee. Pete Dunne. Sammy Guevara. Sammy Callahan.
Ooh.
Johnny Gargano.
Ooh. Ooh, boy. You said one shoot for the stars, one gets fired, and what else?
All right, I'll give you two more options. Out of those five guys, one becomes a jobber, one gets stuck in the mid-card, one gets pushed to the moon, one becomes your world champion, and one you just have to fire.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
You want to go first, Doug?
Yeah. You fire Callahan.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
All right, he's
I was thinking the same thing too.
All right, fire him. I think, to be honest with you, as far as world champion goes, I think there's a lot of money. Even though I think he's light in the loafers, there's a lot of money in Sammy Guevara.
Holy shit. I am honestly shocked that was your pick for the world champion. Because
yeah,
you talk so much shit on that young man.
Of as far as push to the moon, I would say, and again, this is another guy that I don't like. Well, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that, like, I really don't see the big deal. But he is a star right now. So I'm going to say Keith Lee.
Do you like Keith Lee?
Wait, I thought you liked Keith Lee. Oh, wow.
I don't like the whole Bask in the Glory bullshit.
That's fine. I thought you liked him. That's fine.
Your guy that's stuck in the mid card, I'd say Pete Dunne. And unfortunately, even though him and Pete Dunne are my favorites of this group of five, I think Johnny would probably be the one doing the jabs.
That is the exact opposite how I thought you were going to do that, Doug. So you think Sammy Guevara is a future world champion?
I think if he learns enough from Jericho, which is what he's doing.
Yeah.
He does have a point, yeah.
He is learning from Jericho. Trust me, I don't like the guy. I think, like I said, I think he's light in the loafers. And that's the nicest way I could put that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just kind of surprised.
Yeah. But I do think, first of all, if you're going to have a guy be world champion, I mean, really, like, in a territory, you always, I think the best way to do it is you have a heel champion. You know, just like AEW is doing right now with Jericho. They have this heel champion. And you make more money when people pay to see the babyface chase the title.
Okay, well, this is a good conversation to get into, because that's also, that mindset is because you grew up as a WCW guy. And WCW is a famous territory for having heel champions. But, and I agree with that mindset to an extent, but you can't say that you make more money when the biggest promotion ever and the biggest promotion that's made the most money has always been a face territory, WWF. You know, from Hulk Hogan, he's made more money than anybody. And even Steve
right.
Austin
and,
was
and
a face anti-hero.
Well, and here's the thing. With Hogan, Vince knew how to build up the heels. If you really think about it, Big Boss Man was one of the hottest heels in the company at that time working with Hogan.
Yeah, but you can't tell me that people paid to see Boss Man get his ass kicked. People paid to see Hulk Hogan talk about eating his vitamins and seeing him ripping his shirt. That was a face territory. People came to see Hulk Hogan. They didn't give a shit who he was wrestling, in my point of view.
Right. Well, yeah, they cared who he was, but, I mean, you would have to care about who you're seeing the guy, you know, who you're seeing the guy go against. I mean, nobody was going to pay, you know, you weren't going to fill a 25,000-seat arena to see Hogan defend a title against Iron Mike Sharp.
See, but they made it work with Kamala.
Yeah.
Hogan had a few opponents that were less than stellar, and it drew money because it was Hogan. That's a hard argument to make. But I do see where you're coming from. And as also a huge fan of WCW, and one of the reasons I'm enjoying AEW, I do agree with the heel champion mentality. I think wrestling is better when you have a face chasing for the title against a very good heel. That's the wrestling I like to watch.
Yep.
So I do agree with you on that. Doug, you got a question?
No, we got to hear Eric's.
Okay, I would fire Tammy.
No, we got to hear who Eric would push and all that.
I know. You shared it. You both. I got it. Go ahead, Eric.
I fired Sammy Callahan. The one I would. Job is probably Pete Dunne. Keith Reed, shoot to the moon. World champion Johnny. And what am I missing?
The mid card.
And Sammy McCarter.
Right?
Yeah, Guevara McCarter.
You guys are disrespecting Pete Dunne. That guy is a superstar.
I love Pete Dunne. But the issue is, though, is that he has been around for so long. He was the face of the NXT UK division for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they found something new for him to do, and it's working. I don't know how, but it's working with Matt Riddle.
His match at Survivor Series was awesome with Adam Cole. That was a good match.
It was a really good match. See, Pete Dunne is a really good worker. And he's starting to come out good. Like, when he cuts promos, as long as you can understand what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good promo.
I agree. Who are your five, Daniel?
Oh, God. I mean, poor Sammy Callahan, but obviously he's getting the fucking boot. I'd have to get rid of him.
I think we're all just saying Sammy Callahan just so Cornette doesn't talk shit about us on his next podcast.
I could care less with that piece of shit, thanks. I just don't like Sammy Callahan. But, yeah, fuck Jim Cornette. But The other four is hard because I like all guys. Honestly, I'm not the biggest Johnny Gargano fan. Any guy that comes out to a theme music sang by a chick, I have to look at in a weird way. And Johnny Wrestling, he is really good. But to me, he's just another independent guy. You know, I know I'll probably get hate for that, but fuck you.
No,
I don't see
your opinion.
Yeah. And I do like him, and I really like the feud with Ciampa and everything, and his matches with Adam Cole. But to me, Ciampa's always outshined him. And
yeah,
he is good, but he would probably be my choice as a jobber. I'd probably have to job him out. My world champion, probably Pete Dunne. No, actually, there's big money in Keith Lee. I have to give him the world title. He's a superstar in the making. I can see him doing big things. My mid-carder would probably be Sammy Guevara. Because I really do like him and I see potential in him. But I would push Pete Dunne to the moon because he's a badass. So those would be my picks. You got a question, Dougie?
I have a question on Facebook. If you want to go first, Doug.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't care. I just want to move on from this topic.
It is from Frank Walker from the other from EPW.
Oh, fuck him!
Wait, he has a good question. He asked, "Why doesn't anybody talk about Impact Wrestling? What is the problem with Impact, if there's any?"
Because it sucks. Okay. Next question.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I get it, you know. First of all, you got to remember, they're on a network that they bought.
Yeah. Nobody really knows about them.
They had to buy the network in order to be on it.
True.
But, first of all, and let me say it like this. I think everybody at one time was a TNA fan. Every not casual fan, but I think every hardcore fan was sold into TNA at one time. And I think at one time or another, TNA has let us all down. So
yeah,
it's hard to get that trust back in wrestling fans. I forgot who said it on the Monday Night Wars thing. The documentary, but once you lose a wrestling fan's trust, it's hard to get that back. So once you insult their intelligence too many times, then you're done. And I think that's what happened to TNA.
They duped us so many times that we fell for it, and now you fool us once, you fool us twice, and so on.
Right.
Look, Dixie Carter had no idea what the hell she was doing.
I agree with that.
I mean, you talk about useless people in the wrestling business. All right. You look up the word useless in the fucking dictionary or whatever, you're more than likely going to see a picture of her.
I think she just trusted the wrong people. You know,
because she has no idea what to do. And I've heard that she's a sweet lady, and I don't doubt that. But just because you're sweet doesn't mean that you should own a fucking wrestling company.
Yeah, some people are not cut out for wrestling business.
Yeah, and she thought she was doing the right thing by bringing Hogan and Bischoff and people who knew wrestling. But they were there for money. They weren't really there to make it into a big thing. And just yep. so many harebrained decisions. And
yeah,
just too many mistakes to come back from. So even if the product, I've heard good things from people, but even if the product is good now, no one cares. No one wants to watch it. It's not ever going to be a legitimate competitor. We have our alternative now. TNA is done exactly. and over with, basically.
Right. I mean, and even the same thing for Ring of Honor.
Yep. I was proud to bring that up.
If not more so. Ring of Honor even more so.
Yeah. That company went to tank when AEW became a promotion. Even before then. It
right.
Starting to go down.
Right, exactly.
And I think the problem is, and I think this is why AEW is great, because it is kind of a safe haven for pro wrestlers. They take care of the guys. They have health insurance. They get paid really good money. So I don't think they're really going to fall victim to this. But the other companies, Ring of Honor and TNA, both had some of the best talent in the world at some point, and they all end up leaving. Because either A, yep. they can't take care of them, or B, there's more money. The grass is always greener on the other side. So TNA's locker room basically makes up half the WWE locker room now. You got Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Eric Young. All these guys that were great in TNA are now, you know, WWE guys. And same thing goes for Ring of Honor. You know,
yeah.
Daniel Bryan. You got Nigel McGuinness on the fucking call. You know,
all the members of the Undisputed Era.
Exactly.
Yep.
Seth Rollins.
Keith Lee. A lot of people probably don't know this, but Keith Lee was part of Ring of Honor for a while. The Viking Raiders.
Yep.
Exactly.
One Machine.
And now all of them are in AEW, too. Christopher Daniels, you know, Kazarian,
right.
Young Bucks. So
yep.
it's just the problem with those companies is they never really had huge financial backing, and they really never made enough buzz. Or TNA had a lot of buzz for a little bit, but it wasn't enough. And they didn't make great money, so then the guys leave. And I think that's
exactly.
why TNA hasn't had a chance in the last 10 years. They brought Hogan and Bischoff in. They lost everybody's trust, and they haven't been able to get it back.
Exactly.
Is there any more questions? Or?
No,
are there
or?
Any more questions off of our social media platforms?
There was one, I don't know if it was exactly a question. It was in the one of you, unscripted, from Corey. I don't know if it was a question. Hold on.
I was going to say, what, do you want to fucking tell us what it is anyway?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Corey says, the difference between Raven and Sandman's storyline about the cross hanging to the storyline of Stone Cold and Steph cross hanging seems like ECW version got bigger blow up on it. I don't know what he meant by that, but I don't think it's a question.
I don't
think it's more like a statement.
Yeah, I don't think that. He's basically asking, he's asking, why did the ECW version of that happening? Because to give the viewers more context, Raven and Sandman were in a feud, and Raven, with the help of the Blue Meanie and Stevie Richards, hung Sandman on a cross.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And it was very disturbing. Kurt Angle was there doing special commentary. Kurt Angle was thinking of signing to them before he said to WWE, and he was so infuriated that he left, and he told them, no way. So Kurt Angle almost signed with, could have been an ECW guy. But because of that, no. So, and then WWE copied it when they had Undertaker hang Austin on a cross. And I believe they also did it to Boss Man too, right, Doug?
I don't know if they put Boss Man on a cross or if they just hung the Boss Man.
I know they fucking hung him at WrestleMania, but I think he might have ended up on a cross too. But the time this guy's talking about is when they did it to Austin. Yes, I agree with him. It was a bigger deal and it was more blown up and ECW got more shit for it. I think WWE was so raunchy at the time that people could expect anything. And I know that's kind of a cop-out, especially because ECW was that and much more. But I also think, like, they mentioned it on Something to Wrestle With. Michael Cole said they're hanging him on a symbol. The symbol. Not a cross. He said symbol. And Michael Cole said symbol at least 52 times.
Well, no, what this guy is talking about is when they did the Black Wedding with Stephanie McMahon.
Oh.
And they
That's
put
fucking
her on
stupid.
A cross.
Oh, yeah.
They tied her to a cross. But here's the thing. Like, the thing with Sandman was they beat the crap out of him. And for anybody that doesn't know, because it really hadn't been brought up here, the setup was they had Sandman's 7-year-old son, who technically was brought into the storyline, him and Sandman's ex-wife.
Yes.
Were brought into the storyline, and they were kind of siding with Raven because they made it look like that she was sleeping with Raven and that, you know, Sandman's son was going to start calling Raven daddy.
Yeah, he was dressed up as Raven, too, in the leather jacket.
Right. Well, what happened was the little boy, Tyler was his name, all right, 7 years old, he comes in, and he's dressed up as Sandman. And Sandman gives him a hug. And then Raven sneaks up from behind, cracks him with the kendo stick. Him, Meanie, and Richard beat the shit out of him. And then that's when they hang him on the cross. So I think you get more shit. Like, that whole angle got a lot of shit because they involved a 7-year-old boy.
Yeah, that's not... That wouldn't fly in 2020 either. Obviously.
It didn't fly then.
Exactly.
Yeah, you cannot involve children. Like, even they got a lot of shit. WCW got a lot of shit in 2000 when, you know, they involved Reed Flair in the storyline with Ric Flair and Vince Russo.
R.I.P.
Yep.
But, I mean, so you get a lot of shit when you involve, you know, a kid no matter how old they are.
I thought the ECW storyline was cool, though. I like that feud. That was ahead of its time.
Well, yeah, it was.
It was, and I get why people would like it. Personally, like, I never really was a fan of it.
Well, I mean, I thought Bueller was a cunt, but she was supposed to be. And, oh, no, it was Sandman's wife, not Bueller, my bad. I'm getting mixed up with Dreamer. But... Well, wasn't there a payoff where Sandman beat the shit out of Raven?
Well, they did a thing where, you know...
We're going back pretty far here.
Huh?
We're going back pretty far here, so I can't remember all the details because it's been fucking forever since I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't even really remember. Like, I remember Sandman did... for a time, hold the ECW title, but he didn't even beat Raven for it. He beat Steven Richards for it.
Wow.
The ECW title?
Yeah. Richards wasn't the champion. He was defending it on behalf of Raven.
Oh. Huh. And he lost it.
Yeah, he lost it. And then, like, Sandman was going to be champ. It was only champion for, like, a month. Because then, what they did was Raven technically wasn't supposed to challenge for the title anymore. But Sandman's ex-wife apparently had sent the little boy, Tyler, away with Raven, like, sent them both out of the country or whatever. And in order to for Sandman to get him back, Sandman had to put the title on the line against Raven. And Raven ended up winning the belt back.
Oh, wow. I didn't know Raven was a two-time ECW champion.
Yeah, he was.
You have any... You have a question, Doug?
Yeah, let me... I mean, we're in the season now. You know, WrestleMania season's coming up here. We're going to find out more about who's going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. Do you think that they're just running out of guys? That's why they're having all these guys go in twice?
Yeah. I mean, there's some that you could argue that. I mean, not argue, but there's some. Owen Hart, that's the biggest one that everybody wants to see, but, you know, his wife refuses to let him go in.
Well, they have a way to get these guys in now. It's that legacy thing.
Yeah. You think Owen Hart could go in that way?
Yeah,
well,
but
remember
Owen
last year they probably got Brody in.
Yeah, but Owen needs a big thing.
Well, I agree with that, and I'm trying to think of who else they got in last year, because I remember last year I was pissed because they put in a bunch of guys that should have like their own inductions,
right?
But they put them in through the Legacy Award. I think that's actually how they got Luna Vachon in too.
Oh wow!
Like they put her in through the Legacy Award, and Bruiser Brody and Special Delivery Jones. And I think Wahoo McDaniel, too. There was a bunch of them last year that got put in through the Legacy Award that I thought it was completely stupid.
Yeah, I think that's just a cheap way to get in. I think they deserve their own introduction.
Well, and for what you were talking about, Doug, I think it's the opposite. I think... Like, some of the tag teams and stuff, to look at, like Harlem Heat, I just don't think that, I mean, Stevie Ray, do you think he deserves to be inducted by his own?
No. I mean, that part I get.
So the only way to get him in is to do it with Harlem Heat.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, a Billy Gunn or a Road Dogg. You put them in with DX, you know, just do it by themselves.
Right.
Well, they should go in as a New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
The Standard's not in yet, right?
No, and I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think that they want to put them in anytime soon. Like, I'm sure they want to put Rick in, but Scott is
Scott.
Such a pain in the ass.
He hates WWE.
Yeah.
He's always hated WWE.
Shame. Yeah. He's always in the... what changed about him? Was he wasn't like this in the early days of WCW, right? When he become a...
He's always been a hothead.
Okay. I thought he was, like, more of a, like, his brother, but I guess not.
No, he's always been kind
of
a hothead.
So is his brother is more of the opposite of him. Right.
His brother likes to goof around.
Yeah.
They're both known for being pranksters.
Yeah.
Eric, you want to hit us with one last question?
Sure. Let's see. What is the best promotion right now? What's your favorite, I mean, and the best, you think?
See, I don't want to be one of those fanboy marks, but I've enjoyed AEW more than WWE recently.
I'm the same way.
But I'll still watch every WWE pay-per-view. I'll still watch Raw when it's on, especially because Doug won't let me go to fucking bed even though I got work in the morning, so he's got to stay up in the living room and make me watch it. I'll still watch NXT. I'll still tune into that stuff, but I've enjoyed AEW a little more. So I'd have to go AEW at the moment.
Doug, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but go ahead.
Well, I'm a huge fan of NXT. But I do think really the overall product, and the ratings kind of show this, the overall best product right now is AEW, you know, because that's what people are more tuned into. Now, the promotion I like better, I mean, it's not necessarily a promotion, but it is a show. The show I like better is NXT.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to say NWA.
Fuck that.
I mean, I watch the NWA, and I like the nostalgia factor, but they got to get a lot of things right first before they can be considered, you know, top of the food chain.
They're nowhere near the top of the food chain. They're a nice alternative, but they are nowhere near top of the food chain. They can't put out a match longer than 5 minutes. Some of the characters, it's hokey shit because they try so hard to be old school. The problem with NWA is they try so hard to be old school. They forgot most of us have network and we can watch old school stuff with Ric Flair and Harley Race and people that are much better than these assholes. So the problem with that is, yeah, it gives you that nostalgia feel. I'd rather just watch the old shit because it was way better.
So, now, what do you think of Nick Alves?
I like Nick Alves. I think he's a good champion for what they're trying to represent.
Yeah, I like him too.
It's a shame
that he never got a chance.
To me, he's a chicken shit champion who's hiding behind the fact that he's got the title.
Yeah.
Like he says, you know, I hold all the cards. I'm the dealer. You know, I call the shots. It's like, technically you don't because you don't own the company. Yes, you're the champion. I mean, I like the chicken shit factor.
Yeah. It's different.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd like to see Mickey James somehow end up there and wrestle Camille, you know, in a pool full of puddings. But anyway.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Both.
Chocolate.
Oop, that's a good choice. Okay, let me ask you guys one question, and then we'll end this thing.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Nick Aldis. Bray Wyatt. Brock Lesnar. Adam Cole, Chris Jericho. Who's the fucking champion for Impact?
Who's for Impact?
Impact's world champion. She's the male world champion?
Yep.
Alright, well, fuck that then. There's just no offense to her, but just the guys that I just brought up. Rank them. Rank the world champions, worst to best.
Well, do you want to put the Ring of Honor world champion in there too?
Who is it?
PCO.
And the IWGP.
No, fuck all that. Just do the ones I said.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
Jericho.
Yeah. From worst to best?
Oh no. From worst to best. Worst, I'm gonna say Brock. Because not Chase. Out of the five right now. Brock. And then you said five? What am I missing? Oh, Adam Cole. And then who am I missing?
Nick Aldis.
You're missing Jericho, Nick Aldis, and Bray Wyatt.
Okay. So Nick is number four, and then Adam Cole, and then Bray, and then Chris Jericho.
It's a pretty good list. Doug?
Brock, Bray, Aldis, Cole, Jericho.
You would put Cole at number two?
Yeah.
You really enjoy NXT more than AEW?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
I was going to say,
I
was going to say, second guessing, let me have the clicker on Wednesday nights now?
No.
Hey, somebody has to be different. Somebody has to be different in the show. So.
No, I totally respect you have to have your opinion, and it's okay that it's wrong. But it is. And it's funny because AEW is so WCW, and Doug is such a WCW fanboy. So it's kind of funny to hear him say that.
I do have an idea for Sunday. You want to do a part two of this?
No. I'm done.
Just an idea. I mean, we could do this once, a couple weeks again, but.
We'll figure something out. We're all gonna be together, so we'll do a show. We'll figure something out.
What do we want to do next Friday?
You want to start? No, it's too early to start WrestleMania. We can start in March.
Let's rank all the Elimination Chamber matches.
Okay.
We can put them up in the polls, and we'll rank them based on the votes they get.
And then we'll talk about the bet. Okay.
And give them rank.
I like that idea.
All right, so then I got
to
go through and what?
How many has there been?
I have no fucking clue.
Wait. Yeah, I'm not even going to try. All right, so this has been the episode of Unscripted Wrestling. A very chill episode, but I'd say another banger, another good one. So I'll see you guys next week. This was a good episode, Doug and Eric. Always a pleasure.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
I'll see you guys Sunday. We'll see you guys Sunday.
See you Sunday.
Yep. Adios.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.